Om Shanti. Good morning. So today we're going to have a look at karma, and the subject that we put together was using the knowledge of karma in the right way, which implies that there are many different ways to use the knowledge of karma. And when we're talking about using the knowledge, we're also thinking about our feelings. Because Baba has told us that it's good for us to have good feelings inside. And good feelings about ourselves, good feelings about the other performers of the drama, and good feelings about Baba, good feelings about the scenes that take place. So if you can keep the translation to only the earphones so we don't hear it outside here, that's good. Can you fix your radio so it doesn't come out only in the earphones, yeah? No, not like that. Everybody can hear. I want you to have only the earphones, otherwise we'll have the class in Russian. And very few of us can understand it in Russian. Got it right? Thanks. So, the law of karma, as you know, is as you sow, so you reap. Whatever you do, you will get an equal and opposite return for that. So the law of karma is rather like a law of physics. You know, an apple will fall down from a tree at 32 feet per second, always. That's a law of physics. So the laws of karma are like that. They're definite and fixed. But the actions that we perform are very complex. We have acts of mind, which are thoughts, and then we have, now I'm still having problem hearing the translation, so if you make sure your radios are only so that you can listen to it only on your earphones and you don't make everybody else listen to your radio, that would be better. Can you figure out somebody over here? Make sure it's not on full speaker. Otherwise there'll be some karma you will be doing and then you will get some negative consequence. Maybe. Not much, but could be. So we have an act of mind, which is a thought, and there are consequences, which are immediate, mid-term, and long-term. So immediate is right now, sometime today, medium is sometime during this life, and then long-term is in your next life or many lives. So the same goes for verbal acts, which are words. Anytime you say something, that's karma. And so Baba has told us we should use words which are jewels and flowers and not stones. But you could throw a diamond at someone and it could feel like a stone. So that is also there. Then the actual physical acts that you do, which are very visible acts. So all of them have the short-term, medium-term, and long-term consequences. Now the other thing is that you have been performing actions since you arrived on this earth, and if you're a BK, the understanding is that you have been around for a very long time. And so you have had something in the region of 63 births with the possibility of doing a variety of negative karmas. So that could add up to quite a lot. So what's a negative karma? We can say anything that is done under the influence of body consciousness or the five vices, that would be called negative karma. And positive karma would be when we do actions that are based on Baba's teachings, Baba's Srimat, virtues and all that. But not just virtues. I think it's better for us to say Srimat, because virtues are quite vague. Vague. It's vague. I'll tell you how it's vague. It's very common for people to say we should not give sorrow to somebody, right? You may be doing something that is based on honesty and clarity and efficiency, which are all virtues, and the person may take a lot of sorrow from it. So did you do a good karma or not? Is it good because it's based on virtues, or is it bad because the person took sorrow from it? You see, it's vague. Srimat is less vague. So I find that if we say that karma based on Srimat would definitely be good karma. Or we can say pure karma. So now, what Baba is telling us is that we should forget the past, right? So there are many things that happened to you in the past. The past can be anything from 1 second ago to 5,000 years ago. All of that would be past. So as we're in the present, we have to be in the present, let the past go. And because one thing that happens is our consciousness of the past contains many provocations for us to perform actions based on awareness of the past. Like, for example, somebody bothered you 5 minutes ago and you're still thinking about it. That would not be Srimad. It would be remembering the past. It's a very subtle thing. But when we're talking about these things in an analytical way, we can identify some of these very subtle things. We want all this to be very, very practical for day-to-day use. Sometimes when people think about or have studied about the knowledge of karma in the context of bhakti, it produces certain attitudes. For example, it makes people feel that there's nothing they can do. This karma is there, and so I am suffering from it. Or if you see a person suffering, or you see yourself suffering, you say, well, I deserve every bit of it, and it's my karma, and it makes you kind of lethargic and a bit depressed, and it kind of keeps you in that mentality that's a little bit negative. So that would be an example of what we might want to say as a wrong use of the knowledge of karma. So we need to use the knowledge of karma in such a way that we keep positive, that we have enthusiasm to move forward, and that whatever happens, maybe it's some karma, but okay, that's fine, never mind, let it go. I see. So that your knowledge of karma doesn't take the form of heaviness in the mind or heaviness in the heart. Do you see what I'm saying? And so it's also good to check yourselves. And we BKs tend to use the word drama more than karma. Because if you say drama about something that you could just as easily say karma, drama means, okay, it is what it is, put a full stop and move on. If you say karma, you can tend to linger in it and say, oh yes, I'm a very bad person, or this other person is a very bad person, and this is the just dessert, and it makes us into body conscious attitudes or more negative emotions, and it makes it more difficult for us to have pure feelings and good wishes for people who we may think are performing bad karma. And around you, there will be many people who do karmas that you think as bad karmas, right? And there may be people around you who think what you're doing is bad karma, and then they may point that out to you. And so again, this type of consciousness brings us more into body consciousness than into soul consciousness. So how would we use the knowledge of karma to advance ourselves and to keep ourselves buoyant and interested and with the power to keep moving forward? So I think in that we need to take a look at the idea of service, the idea of charity, the idea of creating your fortune, right? So at the present time, all of us, we met Baba, we came into knowledge, and we start to change our lifestyle. There are very physical things that we do that are different perhaps than what we did before. We have particular disciplines that we follow. For example, we get up early in the morning, earlier than you probably did before Gyana. Is that right? Did anybody... A lot of people used to go to bed at 3 in the morning, not get up at 3 in the morning, right? So it's the clock is the other way round for us now. So we get up early in the morning and we sit for Amrit Vela. And when we sit for Amrit Vela, we are only thinking about Baba. We don't need to think about anything else. And it is unlikely that we will get much in the way of interruption because all the other people are safely sleeping and they will leave us alone. Is it right? So that we can get on with our good first performance of good karma, which is to sit in soul-conscious, loveful remembrance of Baba. And that is very good karma. Because what happens to us by doing that is, first of all, we are finishing off our sins. Now, a lot of people find this a very, very strange way to finish off our sins. And how do you know that you're finishing off your sins by doing your Amrit Vela in the morning? Well, one of the ways we know is because Baba has made it very clear that this is a reality, that when you are very conscientious about your early morning Amrit Vela and you focus on Baba, you also get a lot of other waste thoughts which come and interfere. Is that right? And sometimes they succeed. And your Amrit Vela is not a very nice experience. So what happens in Amrit Vela, which is the speciality of Amrit Vela, is that whatever other residues of your sins in the form of negative or waste thoughts, they will come up at that time in Amrit Vela. They will come up and you will remember Baba. And there is a battle between those waste or negative thoughts and your intention to be in loveful communion with Baba. And when you succeed in this battle, those waste thoughts are laid to rest and the negative thoughts are put aside. That means your sins have been destroyed by your effort to remember Baba. Understand? This is how it goes. And if you keep on regularly doing this, every day Amrit Vela, you will find that after some time, all that negativity fades. And of course, there is this wonderful thing called Maya, and Maya can come when all the existing sins have been taken care of, then Maya will come and see if she can get you to create new ones. Because Maya's job is to interfere in your thoughts, words, and actions to make you do some negative thought, word, or action. That is Maya's job. And your job is to just say no. And so because of that, we have morning class. We have Murli class, 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock or somewhere around there in the morning. And that is also very good karma. Now, you could read the Murli to yourself. You could listen to the Murli over some technical device, or a telephone, or a Skype, or some computer system, or you can be physically present in your center, or you can be here in Madhuban. And whatever are the circumstances of listening to the Murli, we find that it's good to listen to the Murli in a gathering, because you get a lot from that. There are quite a few people who can get access to the Murli independently of the class, and in that case it's good to read it and listen to it in the gathering. Because every time you listen to the Murli or read the Murli, the mind of God is going into your mind. Because what are the words? They are the contents of Baba's mind, isn't it? And so Baba is talking to us, and we are taking that in. So that is the purest possible type of thought there can be, because it comes directly from Baba's mind and intellect and goes into ours. You see? And so we are putting into our brains, putting into our intellect, putting into our thought processes, these which are called Mahavakya. Have you heard this word, Mahavakya? Mahavakya means great words. Words which contain the power of God, because they come from God. So for a normal human being, we would say words, but when God is speaking, we don't say words, we say Mahavakya. In Hindi, we don't have that distinction in English, but it's interesting to know that that distinction exists. And so you have exposed yourself for an hour, say, to Baba's words, and that has gone into your head, and it is food for thought. So during the day we have a lot of different things going on, and one of the things we try to do is to remain conscious of things that Baba said in the Murli today. And when we're doing things like what I'm doing, which is, you know, conducting a class, you see, then it's also about Gyan. So then the things of the day's Murli will automatically come into that, you see, because when you're speaking about the same thing as what Baba's speaking about, then naturally it's going to be there. So whenever you find yourself in any situation where you are communicating Baba's knowledge to another human being, whether it's to introduce the knowledge to someone or whatever it happens to be, then all of that material that came into your head during the morning class has a very good usefulness, you see. So then you are actually making the knowledge of the Murli work for you, and you are actually creating profit for yourself, because the currency of a BK is Baba's knowledge, right? That's the currency that we use. Baba talked today about wealth, right? He said his title is Garib Nivas. You remember that? Garib Nivas? And Garib Nivas is a mosque quite near here, towards Ajmer. It's a mosque called Garib Nivas. So that means this is Urdu language, not Hindi language, right? Garib means the poor, so the Lord of the poor. So lots and lots of poor people go there to that mosque, and they get a little handkerchief waved at them. I went to check that what happened, and they get various benefits. So it's interesting that Baba will use titles for himself that apply to various different religions. He's not the exclusive property of Hindu religion, which is anyway not a religion, right? So Garib Nivas is a Muslim. And in Islam, of course, there's a lot of interest in performing charity. And so we also are called Punya Atma. Have you heard this word, Punya Atma? Charitable souls. In English we say charity, but it's not really quite charity. You have a donation, you make a donation. There is something called Yogdan. Yogdan, donation of yoga, which means cooperation. You have Gyandan, donation of knowledge. Because our wealth is actually knowledge, provided we understand it in such a way that it reaps profit all the time. So when we are sharing the wealth of knowledge to enrich another person, to enrich ourselves, so we wouldn't use knowledge to put somebody down. That would be wrong use of knowledge. In the same way, you can talk about karma that makes a person feel bad about themselves. That would be a wrong use of the knowledge of karma. Because it is not appropriate to use God's knowledge to make a person feel less than. We need to use God's knowledge to make a person enriched and more empowered to live a meaningful and satisfying life, you know? So the way we think about it, the way we use it, depends very much on us. So the knowledge is like a tool, say a knife, you know, a knife. If you have a knife in your suitcase as you're going through security, they will say, oh, you got a knife in your suitcase. They did that to me once. I said, yes, that's true, I do have a knife in my suitcase. Why do you want a knife? I said, well, you know, fruit, vegetables, got to cut them. Okay. You know, a knife isn't only for sticking inside people's bodies. In fact, it's a very rare use of a knife, you know. Much more normal to use it for cutting your potatoes and your apples. Right? I know. So in the same way, anything, even knowledge, can be used in a negative way and a positive way. So when we say using the knowledge of karma in a right way, we mean like this, that we will use it so that whoever is receiving that information is empowered and enriched and made to feel good about themselves. And even where there is some very, very bad karma, we see some very bad karma going on or having gone on, we will say, this is drama. You see, because if you say this is drama, it is karma, but we don't say it's karma, we say it's drama. Because when you say it's drama, it neutralizes the negative power that can be there when you say it's karma. Because drama means it's beneficial, drama means put a full stop to it, drama means it was supposed to be, drama means let go and move on, you see. But still Baba teaches us the philosophy of karma because he wants us to understand which of our actions should be sustained and maintained and continued, and which of our actions should be discontinued. And this is a decision that we have to make for ourselves. For example, he will say, anger is a vice and you should not do it. And in today's Murli, he made it very clear that beating children is not permitted under any circumstances. So now, I was listening to the Murli in Pandavabhavan, and Shiluben was reading the Murli, and she mentioned an incident where she came to know of a father who was mercilessly beating his child. And he was asked, why are you doing this? And he said, well, my father did this to me, so I'm doing this to my child. You see, so that is the logic of heredity. But people do that for that reason, you see. And they think that that is quite a proper way to go about things. And so then Baba comes along and says, no, you do not beat a child under any circumstances. But don't even need to beat anybody, or a dog or a cat or a horse or any other animal, you see. Because violence results in loss. Loss of spiritual power, loss of fortune, and puts you into debt, you see. So like that, Baba has told us that there are these five vices: greed, anger, lust, attachment, ego, and then their associates, things like hatred, jealousy, fear, slander, and so many various different things that you can write. I remember one time we were asked globally to look at the subject of anger and work on it. You might remember that. It was maybe 15, 20 years ago. And at that time I was in Los Angeles, And a group of us got together and we thought, okay, let us begin this program by identifying all the different kinds of anger that we can come up with. We came up with at least 100 different ways of expressing anger, including the silent treatment, and a lot of different ways, you see. So we in BK, we are studying. This is the Godly World Spiritual University. So we are studying all about right and wrong, good and bad, and giving it all kinds of different names. So we are encouraged by Baba to perform good karma, because he says that this is the confluence age, and whatever you do during the confluence age, the result of it is multiplied by hundreds of thousands of times. So normally in the Copper Age and Iron Age, if you have a negative karma, then you get equal and opposite return, so equal. Whereas if you do a pure karma or an impure karma in the confluence age, the return is multiplied by 100,000 or some enormous number, which varies from time to time. It means a lot. So if we make a little mistake, you must have experienced it, you make a small mistake, you feel very bad. Whereas before Gyan, you made the same small mistake, it's okay, it doesn't matter. What made it different is because we are aware of good and bad much more acutely than we used to be, and we're also very much trying to create our fortune, right? Baba says very often, you must create your status, you must create your fortune, and you have only this very short period of the confluence age in which to accomplish this. And so you have to create enough fortune to last you for 5,000 years. Because whatever is created in the confluence age, it will endure for the whole rest of the next cycle, you see. So whatever we do in the confluence age is much, much more important than what we do in other periods of time. Of course, in the Golden Age and Silver Age, there's no Maya. So the karma is called neutral. You're automatically good. There's no particular merit. You are, experiencing the fruit of the pure karma that you had created during the confluence age. So that means that we want to know what is the best, most expedient and efficient way to make the maximum amount of pure karma in the confluence age, right? So whatever we do is an investment in the future. Because now that Baba has told us about 84 births and the cycle repeating identically, we become very aware that whatever we do now has these enormous implications that we didn't have any idea of before. So actually the most greatest purest karma that we can possibly do is to become an instrument for Baba's task. And there are many, many ways in which we can do that. Sometimes Baba tells us you have to transfer your bags and baggage from this side to that side. So from this side of destruction to that side of destruction. So when we come to Baba and we accept Baba, we say, yes, we recognize Baba, Baba, this is you, you are God, and whatever you are saying is true, now, what do I have to do? And so he says, whatever it is you have, use it for Baba's work. Your time, talent, wealth, connections, physical strength, all the things that you have, they are a form of wealth that you invest in Baba's task, and you pick up the fruit of that investment on the other side in the Golden Age, Silver Age, and it extends, you see, all the way through to the rest of the cycle. So all of us have a variety of assets, many different assets. Some people have a lot of money, some people have a lot of time, some people have physical strength, some people are good speakers, some people are good artists. Each and every one of us has a lot of possibilities for investment into Baba's task. And so he says that you have to balance your life. And because perfection is not an extreme type of thing, it's a balancing act. And so what do we have to balance? We have duties and responsibilities which come with our role in drama, right? Because when you get born, you have a family and you create various different responsibilities. You have to earn money for your livelihood and look after whatever your creation is. So these are responsibilities. So if we do not fulfill our responsibilities, then Baba will say this is negative karma. So fulfill our responsibilities, and he says that we should divide up our time. You've heard about this, right? Divide up your time into three, 8, 8, and 8, 24 hours. You can divide it in a number of ways. One of them is three. And so you have 8 hours for Baba, 8 hours for your personal self, and 8 hours for your duties. So that's one way to divide it up, 24 hours. And you can divide it up further, because you have to see your situation and observe what the requirements are, what the different categories are, and you create your program like that. And then you will be leading a balanced life. And you will be also saving your time and energy because you have constructed your day in a very appropriate way so that you are doing correct karma through the day, every day. I see. So that you have time for Baba's remembrance. Sometimes Baba says you have to balance remembrance and service. One of the dangers is a person says, well, service, I'm doing service, so I'm remembering Baba, so I don't have to have separate remembrance of Baba, but that's an illusion. You have to balance yoga and service. Because if there's a lack of yoga, then your service, you know, there's a law of diminishing returns. Do you know this one? The law of diminishing returns is something like this, that you put in effort for something to a certain extent, and the more you put in, the more you get out. But at a certain point, it starts to not work like that. You put in more energy, you get less result. And so in the same way with service, it has to be optimum, not maximum. So that you do not get into that situation where you're putting in more effort and getting less result. So optimum is where you put the right amount of effort to get the maximum result. If you go over, it's more effort, less result. So that's where you stop and say, okay, now I have to do yoga. And if we have good yoga, then what will happen is the service will have that sharpness of yoga. The words you speak will have that sharpness. Baba speaks about the sharpness of yoga in the Murli, you see. Because if we're doing everything but we're not having yoga, then that whatever we're doing doesn't have power in it, you see. And so then it looks like it's good karma, but because it doesn't have power in it, it's not that good. So it's not an effective investment because we went out of balance. So we might find it quite difficult to figure out all these balances, but you do have your intuition, your inner sense, which is a sort of inner balancing device. And it's rather like perhaps the same way your conscience works, that you will get a little message from the voice of your conscience if you're going out of balance. Do you experience that? So I think it's very important to listen to the voice of conscience, because if you do listen to it well, then the sound of that voice will be very audible and it will guide you quite well. The conscience is related to the intellect, right? And so when we are turning, we say yoga of the intellect, right? Buddhi yoga. So when we turn the intellect to Baba through a decision in the mind and intellect, then that also massages our conscience and makes it work better. Every time we do anything against our conscience, it loses functionality, which means you can't rely on it, which means easily you can make mistakes. So when we come to Baba, we are a mixture of the inclination to do the right thing and the inclination to do the wrong thing thinking it's the right thing, and then the inclination to do the wrong thing because I feel like doing the wrong thing because that's that, right? We don't care about that it's damaging us. So to be able to do the right karma in all the various different situations that arise, you see, what type of situations arises? Relationship situations, right? So you come into connection with various different people. Sometimes people say, well, I'm in Gyan, but the rest of my family are not in Gyan, so what would be the correct way for me to function so that I do fulfill my responsibility to those family members to give them Baba's knowledge, but I don't get into trouble with them for being a fanatical BK, you know. So that's a real question that arises, right? It's very rare that all the people in your family will say, okay, BK is okay, I'm a BK, you're a BK, we're all BKs together. Very rare. Usually the only one is you, or there may be two or three of you, and then the others think you're crazy. And they also check you very, very closely. I think one of the best checkers of BKs is their Lokic children. Because, you know, children are very sharp and they listen to what you say, and then if you do the opposite, they'll come back at you and say, hey, mommy, daddy, Baba says, don't be angry, look, you're getting angry, aha, I caught you, you bad BK. And I mean, there are many people who say that this happens, so I know it's true. And then also the other BKs with whom you are in the same center, or you may be living in the same house, you know, and everybody checks each other, right? Because it's very, very easy to see somebody else's ego. Quite difficult to see your own. And to have really good quality, healthy relationships is a lot of work, a lot of negotiation. And Baba has given us a lot of details in the Muralis about how to relate with each other in a spiritual way. Sometimes you will hear in classes that you have to have spirituality. What's that? What's spirituality? Nobody knows, right? Could be anything. Yeah, you can make various different descriptions and somebody else will make a different description. They'll both be right, but they won't be the same. Every BK meditates differently. You know. Somebody's being introspective, somebody else is sulking. Both look the same. Different vibe. You know. So there are a lot of subtleties. And I think that for us to be comfortable doing good karma, we have to really think quite deeply about what we're doing. So Baba says we should check our chart. And when we check our chart, we see to what extent we are influenced by our negative emotions, negative feelings, and our conscience will draw this to our attention. And then for us to do something right, there have been especially some avyakt muralis in which Baba has said, if you do very good service but the people are not satisfied with you, then that service is not service. Right? Do you remember that? He has said that on a few occasions. So we have to think about what we're actually doing. We may be actually giving Baba's knowledge to someone or organizing a program or something like that. But the way that we interact with one another has to contain the elements and ingredients, which you can make long lists of those, so that you're in harmony, I see. Because I think the special quality of the Golden Age is that everything is in harmony. And the humans, which is us, are the ones who cause the environment to be whichever way it is. And this is why we have this slogan that when we change, the world changes. So Baba has been telling us, okay, you have to change. You have to change your sanskaras and you have to change your nature or your conditioning, as I was mentioning yesterday. So sanskaras are created from karma. And sanskaras are patterns. So one of the things we have to do with ourselves is to observe ourselves and try to discern what our patterns are. Because that way we can see what triggers certain sanskaras so that we can be a little attentive. And what activity we do leads to things that we may not like. There is quite a well-known saying that if you keep on doing what you've always done, you'll keep on getting what you've always got. And so the things that we do regularly, which may be what we call our sanskaras, or we say this is the way I am, you know, look at that. Everybody's different, of course. Oh, excuse me. Sorry about that. So yeah, everybody is different, and taking time to really look at yourself is not something we do naturally or very easily, but it's very important to find a way to sit and look at oneself. There is this song, "See Your Face in the Mirror," right? So that mirror can also again be your conscience. If you think of this subconscious, everybody has a subconscious, and traditionally it is said that the subconscious is like water. So when you go very deep in water, then you will find certain things. But water, if you want to see what's inside the bottom or the depth, first of all, the water has to be very clear. You might have seen in some Caribbean islands, the sea water around there is very clear and you can see all the way to the bottom because the water is so clean. So when your conscience is very clear, then you can see to the very bottom. And that's also an exercise that you can do in meditation to make yourself still, like a lake when there's absolutely no wind, and it'll reflect the landscape around it absolutely perfectly. You must have seen that. And there's something about water that's absolutely still that we find very attractive, because it's symbolic. It's a symbolic value for the way that we look deep into ourselves to see, who am I and what am I? So we'll have a traffic control just now, and we can take a few moments to try to see, you know, your essential nature, your essential qualities. Oh, Shanti. So there are many, many things that could be said, but I think that some of you may have some questions, so maybe we can use this next part of the class for your questions. Do any of you have questions about karma? Nobody? Yes? Yes, please. Okay, let's see, can we have a microphone for the people to ask questions? So anybody who has a question, you can come up to the front.
We know that if something's happening to us in life and we take it as the effect of my karma, then it eases out the karma and we don't multiply it. But how do we know that it is a past karma, or that we are, it's like a new karma, or we are creating a karma account?
Yeah, that's a very good question. One very clear thing is when you get an illness. And when you have an illness, there is pain and discomfort and limitations associated with it. And generally speaking, in those situations, unless you happen to eat something bad and get a bad tummy the next day, that's this life's karma. And of course, we have to be as careful as possible. But in diseases, or even, you know, like things that happen to you that don't seem to have any cause that you can see. You were careful, you did everything properly, still something happened. So then we could say, well, I'm paying a debt, you see. And it's like a bill. You get a bill, you have to pay. So if you're getting very large bills to pay, then you need to have a lot of wealth in your bank account. And so the more we do yoga, the more we are accumulating the power of yoga with which to manage these karmic settlements that come. Sometimes, through no fault of your own, you may have a business disaster, or anything can happen, which you can't say, oh, I was stupid, and this is why it happened. But it just came out of nowhere. And you can say, ah, past karma. And so if you have this resource within you, when a very strong past karma comes, it'll hit you, that'll be a big blow to you. So you have to be able to handle that. If you have no power of yoga, that blow will take you out. It'll knock you down. But what we find with Brahmins, those who have conscientiously been doing yoga, they are able to manage where other people in a similar situation but who haven't accumulated yoga, they find it very unmanageable. Breakdown of relationship, breakdown of a marriage, this kind of thing. Sudden loss of a job, which you did everything properly, you shouldn't have been let go of, you got let go of, you know. There are many of these kinds of things, very, very stressful things, but you have yoga, you can manage it. So yes, it's from the past. You've done good things in the past, you've done things that put you in debt in the past. So good things we don't mind, we'll enjoy the fruits of good things, but when we have to pay a debt, experience a heavy blow, then we have to be able to manage that, you see. And that's where the power of yoga comes in, and the power of knowledge also. So there are many things that are to do with the past, many things. And I think that when you're tuned in, you will be able to say to yourself, this is a past karma. Even there have been occasions where very strongly bad things happened to BKs, and they went to Baba and they said, Baba, what is this? And Baba will say, this is your past karma. And so we have this record of the things that Baba has said to different people, you know, because the other way to look at it is, this is my test. Many things, if you say to it, this is a test. It is karma, but if you take it as a test, then when something is a test, then the purpose of a test is for you to pass the test. Also, it makes you more experienced in managing that type of thing. So just as we use the word drama instead of karma, where many people will say, oh, that's just karma, and we will say, well, that's true, but it's drama. For us, it's drama. In the same way, karma will say, it's a test. This is my test. And Baba wants to see if I can rise to the occasion, if I can manage this test, and then I will pass with honor. It is a karma. But in this spiritual university, we take exams, and we pass them. And those exams, you can understand, they have to do with karma. But how you take it, then it's more in your hands, you know. It's in your hands whether you pass or fail a test. The test came, that's not in your hands. How you handle it is in your hands.
Om Shanti. I have two questions. One is, Baba says in the copper and iron ages, the womb is like a jail. How much of karma is settled when we take multiple births through the womb, or when we are in the womb?
Okay.
That's one question.
And so let me take that question first, and then you can give your other one. So you can just sit in that couch, yeah. In the womb, you get a lot of punishment for your sins of that life, but it doesn't change your sanskaras. So you come out purified from that experience, but as you reach a certain age, 4, 5, 6, 7 years old, those old sanskaras start kicking in and they make you do the same karma that you promised you would not be doing, but of course you forgot. So then the next time you leave your body, you have to go through another purging. And so it's not efficient. Whereas in the confluence age, every Amrit Vela, your sins come up. And you have to deal with them. But you're not just experiencing punishments, but you're also having the capacity to change your sanskaras because of Baba Srimad, because of the power of yoga. So that by the end of the confluence age, it's possible to be karmatit. And then you arrive in the golden age, in the status and with the qualities that you had created during your time in the confluence age. And a very interesting thing about the womb, which you may not know, when a very important BK is going towards their leaving the body, they're very sick or whatever, then very often the other BKs will do yoga for the womb. Interesting. So that whichever womb they go into, that womb has been somehow prepared by the other BKs, like as a cooperation for this. And I remember this was particularly done in the case of Didi Manmohini. You may have seen photos of her. She had left the body in 1983. And it was very clear to everybody that she could not survive the illness that she had, and so Baba gave special direction that everyone should have special yoga, and then this was for the womb, so that the womb she would arrive in would be best quality, you can say. So our thoughts, our remembrance, have an impact on matter. You know, there are many things that Baba tells us to do that we maybe not see quite exactly what that is. Like he says, give, you know, vibrations to the world, you know, do world meditation on the third Sunday because you have to give peace to the world. You're sitting here comfortably giving peace. You don't know whether somebody in Afghanistan prison is getting you peace or not. But presumably something's happening, right? What's your other question?
Okay, I'm not sure whether I can ask in public, but I will ask.
Okay.
See, the people who go in front of Baba on the stage are supposedly very powerful souls.
Yes.
And if you see them crying in public due to some illnesses and all that, it gives a very odd feeling.
Oh, well, for that you have to be the detached observer.
Okay.
And anyway, you have your own thoughts about anything that you see. But it's very important for your own personal self-respect and self-value to understand that Baba sees you just as clearly if you're sitting at the back of the hall or if you're up on stage. And you may be speaking to Baba in your mind. He can give you his answer just as easily as somebody who speaks physically to Baba through Dadi Gulzar, you know. And because of the way we are, we always think, oh, I'm just, right? We use the word, I'm just. We shouldn't use that word, I'm just. I'm just a housewife, people very often say. No. What you are is very important, very valuable, very good, and Baba knows you, and Baba sees you, and Baba listens to you. And it is part in drama for somebody to be up on stage and part in drama for somebody to be not on stage. I had a very interesting experience last October 24th, I will share with you, that I was given a front seat, which never happened before, you know, in the row, the front row. So I was on one side, front seat. I said, ooh, what is this? Maybe I'll go on stage. Because if you have a front seat, you can. So I said, okay, I'll go on stage. I went on stage. And then some people said, oh, come with us. We want to put a garland on Baba. So I said, okay, fair enough. Good chance. So I went with them. And we went in front of Baba, and he gave drishti, and it felt to me, when he was giving drishti to me, like it was 10 minutes. So I said, wow, 10 minutes drishti, and I felt amazing and all that. And then I said, I want to see this on the video. So I got the video, and I looked at it, it was 1 second. Felt like 10 minutes. I said, well, 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 how about that? It's not, you know, like the things that happen between us and Baba is nothing to do with real time, which the camera can record, right? You see? So that was very interesting to me. Otherwise, I would have gone away thinking, oh, 10 minutes drishti I had. No, 1 second. Hardly, you know. But he can give us whatever experience he wants. But if we are having some waste thoughts, then we won't be able to receive that experience, you see. And somebody may be on stage disturbed about something, and they will be almost as if in a very ordinary consciousness. Fair enough, that's their part in drama, no doubt. But we at the same time may be having something else going on with Baba, and something else is happening to us. Not less real. Doesn't go on the camera, of course, but, you know. So what I mean to say is there's many dimensions on of the confluence age. Even sometimes Baba says, when you are in body consciousness, you're back in the Iron Age. And when you're soul conscious, then you're in the confluence age. You know. So there's a lot of things going on where time is changed, space has changed, events, you know. How many times we say, oh, Baba did a miracle, Baba saved me from this or that problem or whatever, you know. And he didn't do anything that anybody could spot and say, oh, this is some kind of magic. But yet it's very discreet and very real magic, you see. So we have to trust what we know and not be distracted or perturbed by anything that we may view, because it doesn't make any difference to anything, and it doesn't particularly mean anything in particular. So if you see something and you think, oh, it shouldn't be like this, then remind yourself it is what it is, and it doesn't make any difference to anything. And by the way, Baba, you and me, we're together. Like that. We have a few minutes if anybody has a last question. Yeah? You have one? Mike? Yeah.
Often it seems when we're negotiating difficult karma, and we're really on our guard, and it brings our attention up. However, when we go through a time when things are fruitful in a positive way, in some ways that can be more difficult because we become relaxed, our attention falls away, and we just get caught up in enjoying it.
Well, I was just reading something yesterday from Daddy Janki. You know, there's a book called The Adiratan. Have you seen that book? It's only in Hindi, and she wants it in English. But anyway, she asked me to work on it, and so I started reading it. And there's a sentence in there which relates to what you just said. And you know that Daddy Janki was very, very close friends with Didi Manmohini. And so Daddy is a very intense person, as you know. And in the early days, before Gyan, she had been a very quality bhakat and took her devotional activities very seriously, and she did a lot of studying and thinking and meeting with gurus and so on and so forth. And so her purusharat, her effort, was very intense and serious. And then Didi said to her, "What are you doing? What are you doing? Heavy duty, serious effort." And Daddy said, "What do you mean?" And Didi said to her, "You must do happy effort." So when you say getting caught up in the enjoyment of it, not such a bad thing. Enjoy it, be easy with it. Sometimes you need to be, you know, very heavy and serious, but if it's always like that, then that too is out of balance. So when you're enjoying the fruits, doesn't mean you have to be negligent and careless, but our BK life is a happy life. And if we take it too seriously or we go about it in too heavy a way, we might not be able to keep it up. So the lightness, you know, and you can hear from Baba's Murlis, he says, you have to be Begumpur Bacha, the emperor with no cares, right? Carefree emperor, but with no cares, and with no worries, and easy, and light, enjoy. Because if you follow your conscience and you are, you know, you do all the things what you have to do, and you don't be sort of antagonistic to your own progress, then you can actually keep this up for decades, you see. Because if it's too heavy, you won't be able to keep it up. I've seen a lot of people fall away because it's just too much to keep up that intensity. So lighten up is okay. After all, this is supposed to be easy yoga, right? It's not so easy, but still it's called easy yoga. And we are carefree emperors, yeah? Is everybody carefree? And you have lots of karmas and worries and this and that and the other, but it's okay anyway, right? So if you can laugh at it, it helps. Okay, so let's stop here. We'll have a few moments of Baba's remembrance and can go for lunch. Om Shanti.